Hey, what's up, everybody? This is the MMA Talk Show, or the Mo Show this week, because we are speaking with Mustafa Al-Shamari. Man, I'm super impressed by that guy. I gotta tell you guys, I'm super impressed. I was super impressed by his performance at BTC. It was an amazing performance. I was even more impressed with the crowd, at the way that it all turned out. But man, now that I spoke with him, I'm even more impressed by his personality, by everything he has to offer. This guy is absolutely amazing. You're gonna want to watch this episode, and you're gonna want to follow this guy, because he's gonna be something for sure in the future. But just before we speak to Mustafa, I wanted just to touch briefly on Canadian performances from the last week. We had Mike Malott on the Contender Series. He was fighting in the main event, and man, it was an amazing performance for him. Even gonna say an amazing fight, because it wasn't a fight, man. Szymon Mostrowski came in and got his ass choked out in 39 seconds by a classic Team Alpha Male guillotine. He was looking to do with Armin, but then was able to pull his arm all the way through the choke and was able to close it with no arm. So no arm guillotine, only the head, and it's one of the most efficient guillotines that there are. And he was able to finish it 39 seconds into the fight. Of course, scored the UFC deal with that one. So congrats to Mike Malott. I'm super impressed by that performance. I was super impressed with him before too. The guy's a striking coach at Team Alpha Male, has been an amazing grappler too in his MMA career. So that's a guy that we're going to have to look at. 170, he's now in the UFC. He's going to be looking for to climbing up the ranks and be one of the newer Canadian guys. That gets us excited. So I'm super excited for him. I look forward to speak to him in the future. Would really love to have him on this podcast. So that's to follow. I'm going to try to speak to him on that matter. But Mike Malott, that was amazing. Then on the UFC card, Lupi Godinez. Oh my God, I was super happy by that performance, because, you know, I was a little frustrated with her first fight. Not in the sense that she did really well. I felt like she probably beat Jessica Pena, to be quite honest. But it was short notice. She didn't come in with a huge amount of preparation for that fight. She was only 5-0. She had way less experience than her opponent. And even though, like, she wasn't winning the clinch exchanges, she wasn't losing them by much too. I think that's probably what, like, made her comfortable to kind of stay there too long, and that made her lose the fight in the end, even though I felt like she landed the better damage. She was all around the better fighter in that fight, but she gave too much positional control to her opponent, and that made her lose a really close decision. And she came back for that fight, was supposed to fight Sam Hughes, and I was like, that's kind of an easy matchup for her. But then Sam Hughes had to pull out, and then I was wondering, well, what are they going to do with Lupi? So they found Silvana Gomez Juarez, who is a way better fighter than Sam Hughes. And I was like, damn, that's not an easy test on short notice like that. Again, having your opponent change like days before the fight, that's a tough one for Lupi. But my God, she didn't give a single shit about any of that. She outstriked her quite easily. Didn't do much striking though, but when she had the chance to strike, she was landing the better shots and the heavier shots. And you could see she was a more comfortable boxer than the two, but she was also by far the better grappler. She landed some amazing takedowns. She was basically throwing her opponent all over the octagon. She was way stronger than her, having the better positional control, and she was able to bait her into an amazing armbar finish from the back. That was absolutely beautiful. So finally, first UFC win for Lupi, and like, you really got to see all the potential that she has. I was pretty sure for a while that this girl was one of the better Canadian prospects in MMA, the one that had the better chance at the higher ceiling, let's say it like that. And she really showed that in her second UFC fight. I'm super happy for her win and for her performance. And I'm really looking forward to see what's up with her in the future. And then finally, we had some BKFC action with Jade Masson-Wong. And that sport is just plain wrong, man. I don't like it at all. I just can't believe I watched that. Like, they start the broadcast by like paying homage to a guy that just died the week before by fighting in BKFC. And then you see Jade coming out with like the biggest smile ever. You know that girl, she's kind of crazy. She likes blood. She likes gory stuff. She's always looking at like trauma pages on Facebook and Instagram. She likes to see like broken bones and opened up skulls and stuff like that. And that's really the place for her, because she came in, she created a huge mouse under the eye of her opponent, and she popped that mouse wide open. It started bleeding all over the place. And the doctor was already like thinking about stopping the fight because of the huge mouse. When it popped open and started bleeding everywhere, he just said, nah, that's enough, girl. That's enough. So he stopped the fight, and Jade won. Jade Wang won. And she was pretty happy about it. And I guess we're pretty happy for her too, because, man, this, like I said, that's the place for her. That girl, she likes blood and crazy stuff. And BKFC is pretty much the craziest and bloodiest stuff that you have on the mixed martial arts landscape. So I pretty much had nothing else to say about that. Good performance by Jade Masson-Wong. Great win for Loopy. Great win for Mike Malotte. We're super happy for all these Canadian fighters for their success. And we look forward to what's next for them in the future. And now it is time for the Mo Show with Mustafa Al-Shamari. Enjoy the podcast. It's a good one. Hey, what's up, everybody? We're here with a superstar, I believe. Mustafa Al-Shamari. What's up, man?
Oh, man. Don't gas me like that. We're just getting started.
Oh, man. Come on. How can I not? You were at that show. You saw what happened, man.
Yeah, hey. When the adrenaline goes, there's not so much you can remember.
Nah, for sure, but okay. If you don't remember, I'm gonna tell you what happened, man. We were at some fights in Burlington, Ontario, for BTC, and we had a good fight, four fight card. Some fights fell through, and at a point in the night, we were getting ready for a fight, and then a guy came out. He was named Mustafa, and the crowd went fucking nuts, man. I was like, oh shit, what's happening? Who's that guy? I never heard of him. And they introduce you. I hear you're from House of Champions and stuff. So I'm like, oh, that's interesting. This guy is out of a good gym, and he's got a big crowd and all that. And then you fought. You destroyed the guy, almost got sucker kicked in your head while you were down. And then
that was a foul. That was a foul.
That was a huge fall. And then you won, and you jumped into the crowd. So that's what happened. I want to know, how you feeling, man? How are you feeling?
It was actually a lot of buildup. There was a lot of issues going into the fight itself. But once I give my word, I never pull back. I'm nothing like the other guys. You know, I had a different guy that I was supposed to fight. His name is Nicky Heinrich. He pulled out, so I told all my people that we're not fighting. And then they offered me Jay, and they were talking about this guy having experience. He was talking about having a double doctorate in mixed martial arts. Everything unfolded the way it should. I'm not here to complain about the struggles.
Oh, no, for sure. How many tickets have you sold for that event? Because I had the feeling like half the place or even more were there for you.
I would have sold more. I told them that it was canceled. That's what it was. Until the last minute, Jay was already licensed and ready to go. Apparently, he was ready around his weight, too. He looked like a big guy. I'm surprised he made weight.
Yeah, for sure. And, man, shout-outs to him, too, because I heard I was following the BTC card because I was going, and I heard like, oh, that Mustafa fight is being canceled. Nikki's not gonna make it. And then a couple of days later, they go, oh, we got a guy for Mustafa. So that's when I knew that I had to look into you, because there were many fights that were canceled, and I feel like they probably tried to find somebody and stuff, but I feel like they really needed somebody for you. I feel like you were important for that event, since they found you a replacement. Things that really didn't happen for everybody that got their fight pulled from that card. So that's when I was like, oh, I got to look into this guy. And man, when I got there, like I told you, I couldn't believe what I saw. Because You know, I'm from Quebec, so we're basically in the same shit, me and you, like restrictions wise, and like going to the gym and events, and like they're I think there's gonna be 7,500 people at the first Canadiens game in Montreal, which is stupid because if everybody's vaccinated and that shit works, then you should have a full house and everything's okay. Since that, shit
you guys are very used to your events over there in Montreal. I know.
Yeah, I know.
It's
exactly.
That's how the lifestyle is for the Montreal average.
Yeah, no, for sure. We're always out there, hockey games and shows and stuff. And now everybody's everything's kind of been shut down. So I was like really looking forward to being at fights with a crowd. And when you came in, it just like reminded me of the good old days, man. Like, oh shit, there's people cheering, they're happy, they're celebrating, they're hugging, high-fiving. It was just amazing, man, to be honest.
I broke every rule on that day. But I think it was necessary for me. They left the gate open and nobody was there to hold me back. My people were calling my name. You heard that.
Yeah.
They were calling my name. So I just ran. All I could imagine is the Aldo moment when he ran into the crowd. It was unreal. It was like a movie for me, actually. I couldn't believe it. During COVID, where you're away from people all the time, everybody's scared of everybody. I win. And then it felt a lot more satisfying being part of that celebration than winning the fight, believe it or not. It was unbelievable. It was the moment where I had people I know and people I don't know in the crowd cheering with me. You know what I mean? Happy for me. Happy to see that moment happen, right? Just, it's an unbelievable experience. And I'm glad you got a little bit on camera. I shared that on my Instagram. Thank you for the footage.
Oh, I'm so I'm glad you liked it, man. We were at BTC. They did us good, man. The media for sure. Like we were on the kind of second floor. We had like the best view in the place. To be honest, we could see just because you know when you're at fights, you want to be just over the cage, so you can look down at it. That's the best point of view that you can have. And we were exactly when we were standing up. We were exactly at that point of view. So it was amazing. And like you said. Like, I feel like when you came out, lots of people were cheering, but, you know, crowd energy and all that stuff. At the end, everybody was just cheering. At the end, it was like the event of the night, the moment of the night was your win. Everybody was so happy. It's like for a brief moment, all that shit like didn't exist anymore. And people were just celebrating and being happy for you and for what they just had witnessed.
I still hear the cheers every time I wake up. Every morning I wake up, I hear the cheers. I'm actually savoring those moments because we never know if we'll ever have that again. You know, you never know how things are going to turn. That's why I really appreciate those moments. You know, I shout out to the organizers, the fighters who showed up. Shout out to my team. You know, we work very hard. We work very hard during these times.
Yeah, for sure. And it's tough, man. Like we've been saying in Canada, especially Eastern Canada, like, or Central Canada, I don't know, man. I guess we're the center, but we're kind of east. But like, man, it's tough for us out here, man, just to train. If you knew what setups we had to pull just to roll during quarantine, it was crazy. We had to like pick people up, just go park into the garage, make sure the neighbors didn't see anything. It was like crazy, man. So to be able to have that back, to have live fights, to be there, see people, see the crowd, be happy, man. It basically, it's everything. I didn't know how much I missed it until I was there. And to be honest, at a point, I was looking at the BTC card and I was like, oh shit, man, fights are falling through. And like, I'm near Montreal.
Like, we're flies.
Fucking
like
seven, flies. Seven, eight hour away from you guys. And I was like, man, why am I going to Ontario to see four fights? But I was like so happy to go finally because like the moments that we got to live in, it was great. It was just great. But let's talk about the fight a little bit. Like, how would you rate your performance like 2 weeks out from it?
To be honest, I'm happy with my performance overall, but that was not the game plan. You know, my game plan was to stand up and bang. You know, I wanted to exchange with him and I wanted to really showcase my striking because I come from a striking background. You know, that's what I'm specialized in. But hey, they all turn into paper planes when I touch them.
Yeah, for sure, man. It was great. It was really a great performance. Like I said earlier, there was a scary moment, but happily, when you got sucker kicked, we kind of just saw fast enough that you were okay. Like you didn't like fall to the ground. You didn't like. We were never at any doubts that the fight was gonna get stopped because of that move. But I wanted to know, like, what was going through your head when that happened? Because I know on one
part, I was more upset. Not much. I was more upset. You know, I was like. Now you want to strike with me, you know? I wanted to strike with you to begin with, right? Once he took it to the ground and he noticed, he knew I was on the ground. We looked at each other in the eye. He even punched me first. I pushed him off of me and he knew I was grounded. He had to run towards me. So it's not like it was an accident. And I could have pulled, you know, the old, I can't fight again. I can't continue and just keep the money, easy money. You know, there's a lot of people that really take advantage of these little loopholes, you know, but I'm a fighter. I did not give up. You know, he brought the pride rules. So I brought the pride fighter out of me. I had to meet him there. I had to get back. And, you know, again, we got up and we striked and, went for that hug again. You know, he wanted to go for a 15-minute hug. And that's not what I signed up for. I'm there to fight.
Yeah, and it kind of looked like, not you were angry, but like when the fight resumed after the fall, it was like, okay, that's not going to last much longer, I believe. Like Mustafa's like pretty intent on finishing that guy kind of quickly. I don't quite remember how many times after it you got the finish, but it wasn't that long.
Yeah, it seemed longer. You know, there is a lot of ups and downs in the fight for one round. You know, it was the ups of me whooping ass, and then the downs of me getting kicked while I was down. You know, it was a decent experience, but that was not the game plan. You know, I'm here to put on a show. I didn't start my career just to be a hugger. You know. I actually choose fighters based on their, you know, their experience fighting. He has a knockout. He talked about being a doctorate and training for years. So I'm like, I got a fighter in my hand. You know, this is a fight of my life. Beautiful. But he was a grappler. He was not a striker. You know?
Yep, and talk about the team a little bit, because I know House of Champions, a pretty good team, Crew Allen, Kyle Nelson, lots of fighters. Talk about the team and the training a little bit.
Talk about these guys all day. You have how many hours do you have?
Oh, man, I got all the hours. I'm working at 11, but it's not even 8, so I'm...
Hey, we can start one by one, you know?
Let's go.
We can start with the head honcho, the president, you know? Crew Allen. If you don't know Crew Allen, he is a pioneer in Muay Thai. He was the national team coach. He worked with K1, worked with Glory. He's a UFC cut man. He has cornered a lot of UFC fighters. He's cornered Glory champions, multiple time world champions, boxers, world champion boxers. He's actually one of the best in the game. When it comes to fighting overall, you know, he's very underrated, very underrated. He's not talked about enough in the Canadian fight scene. I believe he has sacrificed a lot for this sport, and he deserves the attention he should be getting and will be getting, and I will hopefully be a part of that. Yeah, I'll make sure he gets his credit every time.
For sure, man. Like you've been saying, the results are showing for House of Champions, like every year. Because for the, I'd say, 2 or 3 past years, I've been like kind of keeping score of the Canadian fights all over the world, and like whose guy is fighting for which gym, and what gyms have the best records in the country. And House of Champions always up there. There have been some years like where there's been like less fighters fighting, so it's tough for House of Champions to have as many fighters, let's say, as TriStar who are fighting pro. But the win and loss record, always one of the best in Canada, if not the best in Canada.
Thank you. I appreciate that. You know, we don't compete with anybody. Obviously, every gym has warriors in it. We support all other teams. I love seeing fighters from Canada shine everywhere. You know, from Glory to UFC to Bellator, we are kicking ass. And that's what it's about, baby. You know, we gotta put on for our own people. We gotta make sure we let them know, you know. We have wrestlers, we have strikers, we have, you know, the right coaches, we have the right facilities. We just need to have the right backing of the government. I love Canada for what it is, but I feel like there's a lot we can do to support these fighters, you know, as sport institutes. You know, we deserve a little more love for MMA, Muay Thai too, you know.
It feels like we're always like the last that are like in consideration. Like when there's reopenings, we're always the last. When there's like, and even before COVID, it's like, it's not like governments were putting a lot in MMA fights, MMA gyms. I don't know why. We're kind of, we're not hockey, let's say. We're just not hockey, man.
But it's also, you know, it's not them necessarily. It's more us too. We need to support our athletes. We need to support our gyms, right? How many of us kept the membership going while we were on lockdown and nobody could, you know, a lot of gyms closed down because they couldn't pay the rent. They couldn't meet the rent. You know, I know my coach made a lot of sacrifices to keep the gym open. You know, a lot of members from our community and our gym kept the memberships going. You know, and that's how the gym kept alive. But I believe we can overcome any type of obstacle like that if we stay united, we stay supporting each other, you know.
Yeah, for sure, man. And because we're a small community, but like in the end, everybody knows everybody. Like in Quebec here, where people are fighting each other, but they're training with each other when they're not fighting each other. And like, I believe it's the same thing in Ontario, especially the greater Toronto area. There's so many people, so many bodies that people are training together. And so I feel you, man. We really need to step it up as a community. And because if we're not doing the better for ourselves, it's tough to expect people to do good, to do as good too.
Yeah. Hey, we lead by example, though. You seen how it was? It was like a movie.
Yeah.
It was like a movie. And I promise you, if Nicky Heinrich didn't pull out, I would have not only sold out the place, I would have probably had people waiting outside. They would have had to play a projector outside.
Man, I'm gonna just need to go to the next BTC event to see that again. That was fucking awesome, man. That was so nice. I missed it so much, man. Okay, so what's next, man? Speaking about that, what's next?
I came underweight. I came in at 153. So, and I didn't cut water. You know, I just cut down my carbs and everything. But that was an easy weight cut for me. I think the 45ers are in trouble, you know.
That division is kind of growing started now, dude.
I mean, I'm at 55. What? Yeah, 45. These guys are in trouble. I promise you. I know none of them want to get touched.
No.
Whoever picks that fight is in trouble.
Man, and when do you want it? As soon as possible? When's the next date that's in your mind?
I'm ready to fight anytime. You know, I didn't really get hurt from my last fight, and I went to the gym and just put on a sweat right away. You know, I went for a run on Monday, you know. I don't want to say Sunday because hey, Sunday is the time for me to relax and unwind, you know?
Yeah.
I love to take in my celebrations and, you know, I earned them. I really earned them. I don't just get lucky. I work hard.
Yeah, and it showed, man. To be honest, it was a very impressive first fight. To be quite honest, like with the change, opponent change, and all, you weren't fazed by it at all. Came in, did your thing, and like you said, you're a striker and you want to strike with people. But as soon as the fight went to the ground, it was so not a problem for you. Like sometimes you got really good strikers that they get taken down and it's kind of tough, and they end up getting the late knockout, or they end up
Let's talk about my grappling coaches.
Let's hear it, because it really you showed up great things.
We're going to start off with Coach Adrian Woodley. Oh my lord!
Yeah,
that man. MMA, I don't think anybody's better than him. You know, Coach Adrian is very special. He's the first TKO champion. He's a multiple organization champion. Believe it or not, he's got wins over very, very reputable names in wrestling and MMA. Unbelievable. Till today, he kicks our asses at the gym. Like, he is unbelievable. He used to talk about using the cage for offense in wrestling before Khabib was even cool. You know? I'm really grateful for him. And then I also want to give a big shout out to my jiu-jitsu team, my jiu-jitsu instructor, Professor Gabe. He's a black belt. I have started with him since 2017, and I've never been more comfortable in jiu-jitsu. You know, I've won a few tournaments, you know, I've had experience at the gym. I've been humbled. I get humbled by my training partners. Kyle Nelson, you know, UFC fighter with he's a veteran. He was the number one featherweight, and I promise you, he hits like a truck. He hits heavier than anyone I know. You know, I work with Dennis, the Bosnian menace, Benabi, the Nigerian nightmare,
yeah,
William Romero, the king, actually, the Nigerian king. Benabi Otoro. Yeah. So when it comes to MMA, I have the right partners.
Yeah. When you talk about Coach Gabe, it's Gabe Sagman, right?
Gabe Sagman, the Samurai Sagman.
He's also a professional fighter.
Pardon me?
And a really, really good grappler. Really good.
Amazing grappler. His brother is also a black belt, and I also have some lessons with Claude Patrick, the UFC fighter. Yeah. Amazing. You know, he's taught me some things. I've worked with Darson, also another prospect in the country for Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, Darson Hemmings. It's been a lot of work in progress, you know. We work everything. We're an MMA gym. We work everything tirelessly every day.
Yep, and like you said, lots of experienced people that have been there before, fighting, coaching, all a cutman. Like you said, Cruel Allen is a cutman. So basically, the guy's done everything you can do. Like it's almost like I'm gonna see him next show, and he's gonna be a media reporter too. Man, this guy has done everything.
He has done his fair share of media himself and commentating.
Yeah,
you know.
He
has a lot of experience interviewing in national TV. He's a national champion himself. He has a lot of experience. Yeah, he could take over the show. If people disappear from that show, he'll take over every part. He's just really good at taking leadership. You know, he is the leader of our team, and he's done a phenomenal job shaping young youth from average to way above average, special legends. You know, if you look at the wall, our House of Champion wall, whew, the names. You'll notice the magnitude of fighters that walk through this gym. And they leave their aura here. You know, you walk into this gym, you will feel it. You'll feel exactly what I'm feeling right now. And I feel it every day. every day I walk in here, I'm humbled. Every day is like my first day. I still till today get nervous before sparring because I'm fighting a bunch of killers for my life. Every week of the day, you don't know who's walking through this door, you know? So you're going to end up seeing a lot of familiar faces from television.
Yeah, for sure, man. And speaking about Crew Allen, we just saw him pop up in the Shane Campbell's corner too. Like, ooh, that guy.
Tell me you watched that guy. Fight. Tell me you watched that fight.
Yeah, I watched that fight for sure. I was looking forward to the Michael Hill fight. Talk to Shane. Pretty much don't know what happened with that one. But, man, I was pretty happy that Krayko was G enough to fight fucking Shane Campbell on hour's notice. You got to be crazy to do that.
He's
shit.
He's a tough guy. He's a tough guy. Good for him. You have to be brave to fight Shane. Yeah, Shane is the first guy I actually look up to as a fighter.
Like, first, he's a Canadian pound for pound, to be honest. Like, right now, he's a Canadian pound for pound.
Unbelievable. I don't know. I don't know a fighter that wouldn't need a head kick from Shane right now. He could kick everybody in the head. That guy is special when it comes to striking. And you know what? You seen the takedowns in the fight. That was very, very impressive for a striker. You know, he's doing it effortlessly, taking him down at will.
Yep, and even Kyle Nelson is a guy that I've been following literally since his pro debut, because his pro debut was in 2012. He fought a guy named Michael Dufour, who is one of my best friends. He's from my hometown. So, like, basically, it was their first pro fights, and they fought together. Michael was, like, I think he just turned 18, because we can't fight pro before 18 in Quebec. So he just turned 18. And back in the day, he didn't have, let's say, the best training. So Kyle pretty much whooped him in that fight. And I was like, holy shit, man. Because I knew Mick from training with him. So I was like, if that guy can beat Mick like that, he's going to be pretty good. And then he went on to be the monster. Oh, yeah. And the guy that we know
Kyle
today.
Is the monster.
Scary. Even my homie, just to show you how Kyle is good, Michael Dufour, he just won on a CFFC first round guillotine in 2 minutes. He's now 8-3, and he's won basically 8 of his 9 last fights. His only loss was a split decision, 5 rounds to Jesse Ronson.
Wow, good for him. That's an impressive Kyle, run.
Yeah, so Kyle basically beat that guy. So that just goes to show how good it is.
Hey, Kyle beats me every day. it's something, you know, it's who he is, you know. He's just a professional ass whooper, and I'm humbled to be his partner and in his corner and have him in my corner. And you know, I get to learn from a very high level fighter like Kyle Nelson.
Yep.
I wore his shirt coming out. I don't know if you noticed it.
No, man, it was too much crazy stuff going on.
I was wearing the monster. I support the monster.
Oh,
I'm a big fan.
Oh, me too, man. This guy's, I can't wait to see him back, man.
He's the next guy, I promise you. He's gonna hurt him.
Yeah, and I think he's gonna fight at 55, right?
Oh, yeah. No more weight cuts, aggressive weight cuts like that. Even at 45, he was, you know, unbelievable. But I think at 55, he gets to keep that power.
Yeah, for sure. In his UFC debut, it was super short notice, fought a top 10 guy and whooped him in the first round.
Yeah, and dropped him, what, 3 times?
Yeah. He super whooped him in the first round. So, man, with a full camp.
Adrenaline dump too, you know. And, he was called the last, what? He was a 2-day replacement, 1 day. They gave him 1 day.
It was Ronson. It was Ronson. And then there was some bullshit about the weight cut. And they just kicked the fuck out of Jesse Ronson. And they brought Kyle in. But it was super last minute. I remember super last minute.
But, hey, I'm so proud. I'm proud of him. He went in there and, you know, he whooped ass, and then he just adrenaline dump, and it can happen to any elite athlete.
Yeah, for sure. But I can't wait to see him back at that weight for sure. With a full camp and all, he's gonna be lethal.
He'll be back. He'll certainly be back. And you know, we got fighters coming out. My jiu-jitsu professor is fighting soon. You know, he's fighting at BTC in November, I believe. And same as my teammate. I don't know if we're supposed to be telling this yet, but
no, we gotta ask you
first, but
yeah.
Well, my partner is fighting. My partners are both fighting in November. I don't care. You heard it here.
Let's do this. And
at the Mo Show. Welcome to the Mo Show.
That weekend is gonna be crazy, man. Because if everything goes to plan, I don't want to be too optimistic. Because out here the government's crazy, but we've got like the first MMA event in Quebec. That the MMA basically is back, and it's gonna be on the November 19th.
Hey, and maybe that's the one.
Yeah, and the main event is supposed to be Mikael Dufault, Kyle Prepelec for the belt. And then the day after is BTC in St. Catharines. So I might have to...
Wait, what's the first one again?
It's Samurai MMA. It's on November 19th in Montreal.
Oh, Quebec. I see.
And then there's BTC the day after, the day that they're going to do the
tournament.
But
where is it going to be? Do you know where it's going to be?
I think he's got a room. Yep, it's gonna be at the L'Olympia in Montreal.
In the BTC card?
No, not BTC. It's St. Catharines.
Oh, okay, St. Catharines.
BTC is St. Catharines. The day before,
we got it. You know everything.
Yeah, I try.
You're a professional. You take this job super seriously. I see you do your research.
Yeah, for sure, man. I wanna, and like with the, I just changed my podcast basically because it had another name. It was pretty much the same thing, but with that one, I really want to put on for Canadian MMA. I feel like it's important because sometimes, and when I realized that it was recently Chad Anliger on the Contender Series, he won, and nobody basically, I posted it and I was super happy because a Canadian got signed to the UFC and stuff. And I just realized that many people in Quebec, they just didn't know that guy because he's from Alberta and we didn't like, sometimes the news doesn't come across to ear. So I just wanted with the new podcast to really like put on for Canadian MMA, have the fighters, have the promoters, the coaches, and just speak about the events, do recaps and really boost it up a notch because I see people, they've been working hard to put on MMA events and it's so complicated to do so right now. Like at the BTC, it must have been a super nightmare to organize that, to be honest, with all the restrictions from the commission and all. So, man, I feel like everybody needs to step their game up and put on for Canadian MMA because people, man, like you, like everybody, they're fighting and they're trying to make a name for themselves. So I want to be the guy that helps grow that name and make Canadian MMA even bigger.
That's why I came on your show, right? That's why I came on your show. You came in all the way from Montreal. You watched my fight. You supported me. You know, whether you were rooting for me or not, you supported me by bringing more eyes on me and on the event, right? And I hope I could do the same for you. You deserve the recognition of your hard work. You know, I, as a fighter, appreciate people like you who put in work and you know, they do their best to better the sport. You know, more eyes, the more organization will have, the more income. And I think better me, better you, and vice versa.
Yeah, for sure. And that's the same for me. I really appreciate you for taking the time, but also just being there. And like, sometimes it's tough with fighters. Some don't have much to say, that there are people that are always in the gym, but they're not talkers. They just, oh yes, I had a good camp, but you just came out here and you had a lot to say and easy flow conversation with you. So I appreciate that a lot, man. It's always easier for me when I got a guy that's happy and that's willing to talk and say stuff. That's really just, that makes my job so easy, man.
I'm grateful, you know, it doesn't take too much to make me happy. You know what I mean? Good company and good food. You know,
the good food, man. Don't tell me about it. That's the worst thing. I gotta stop with the food, man. I want to be able to compete in my weight class when jiu-jitsu restarts.
Oh, you're into jiu-jitsu yourself?
Yeah, I'm a purple belt.
Oh, nice. A fellow purple. I just got my purple.
Oh,
I just
congrats,
got my purple,
man.
Very
congrats. Thin. That's the big one. I feel like first advance.
Oh, but man, I want to stay there for a while. I just want to stay there.
Yeah, for sure. First tournament.
It's my favorite color.
Yeah, first tournament, I fought a guy who was purple belt for 8 years. So if you can stay 8 years at purple belt, you're going to be great. Let me tell you.
Damn. You must have felt the difference.
Oh man, for shit. I just had my purple belt and I was out of my weight class too, because blue belt, I didn't give a fuck. To be honest, I just, okay, I'm, what am I weighing? 200, cool, no problem. I'm doing 208 and less, let's say. And I come and everybody's bigger than me, but I'm an advanced blue belt, so I'm able to navigate around that. Purple belt, everybody's advanced.
How long did you stay at blue belt?
I stayed 2 years and a half. It's been like 7 years I've been rolling now, and I've been a purple belt for maybe 6 months.
Wow, okay.
Less than that, because we were in lockdown and stuff, but it's recent to be, it's a recent thing. So I was blue belt for 2.5, maybe even 3 years.
Wow. Yeah. Hey, see, and when it comes to fighting, because you have a little bit of a background, You probably appreciate it more than your average Joe.
Yeah, for sure. I listened to UFC before starting that, but as soon as I started to really become a hardcore fan and watch every UFC event, I said I need to practice that stuff. And I did Muay Thai a little bit too, like for maybe a year. But to be honest, I just fell in love with jiu-jitsu, and I knew I was never going to become like a fighter. I was never going to do a fight, an amateur fight, a pro fight. So I was like, man, since I love jiu-jitsu so much, I'm going to invest all my time in that, because the time I spent doing Muay Thai is time I didn't spend doing jiu-jitsu. So I just decided to go all in that, and
I'm
really
so happy
like
for
it.
Your journey.
Yeah,
I'm happy for your journey. And now, hey, now you're watching all the fights everywhere in Canada, the UFC. It must be a full-time job for you.
Yeah, it's crazy, man. Since everything restarted, sometimes come like this week, we've got BFL in Vancouver on Thursday. We've got another BFL card on Friday, Bellator on Friday, UFC on Sunday, Saturday.
Yeah.
So it's a, my podcast live on Sunday to talk about all that shit. So, man, it's a huge thing. But I'm happy to do it. I'm passionate about it. And like, it's almost like you guys, you're fighting pro, but let's say it, you're not fighting for a huge purse right now. It's not something that's going to change your life. Even if you're going away, you're probably going to pay some money to fight because of travel and all that stuff.
Hey, so, for the medicals had killed me. You know, I had to, you have 1 month to get your blood work done, your physical, your eye exams, your, I don't know, EKG, ECG, CT scan, and all of that is waitlist 6 months and above. So you have to go and find the doctor and try to beg them to find a special place for you or a special spot, put you on a cancellation list. And, you know, it's a lot of stress for fighters to even get licensed. It would be nice to have some type of organization to help them get processed easy through the healthcare. We have a great healthcare system, and I believe it could be easier for athletes. I don't know if they've done it to discourage the fighter or for their safety. That's cool, but make it easier, you know? Make it easier for the athlete. It's already the hardest sport in the world. Why should it be the hardest to compete in? You know what I mean? It should be encouraged, I believe.
Yeah, man, and you got to fit all that between your training sessions that are only getting like
course,
more intense.
Weight,
and,
you know, no more cookie, no more cookies, no more pizza.
that hurts so bad. Yeah. But yeah, so that was what I was saying. Basically, we kind of both do it by passion right now, because it's not profitable.
Yeah,
like, yeah, I'm not making any money out of that shit, but I love it so much. I wouldn't do it any other way, man.
It doesn't go unnoticed. I go into MMA Talk now. Hey, I'm a follower now. If I want my Canadian updates, I know where to go.
Yeah, for sure, man. For sure. But I'm going to let you go, my man. I'm so happy to have the chance to speak to you. It was great. I'm going to leave you with the last word, too. If you got any last people you want to shout out, anything, the final word is yours. And I'm so happy to have the chance to speak to you today. It was a good time. And even, like, it's been a kind of long episode, so you might be on your own. This might be the Mo show for real.
This is the Mo show. But the Mo show doesn't go on without support. You've seen the people that showed up in my corner. There was hundreds of them, right? And then I can't forget the people who actually helped me out. Dr. Price from Synergy, I believe. Dr. Graves from Endorphins Clinic. Melvin Cairo. I have so many supporters. One of my managers, Ahmed. Ahmed is a special person in my life who's been supporting me. There's a lot more people I would like to give a shout out to, but I don't know if they're comfortable with me saying their names. But I would really like to thank the people who came in and shared that moment with me. I'd like to thank you for having me on the show and being on my show, The Mo Show. I hope to meet you again, maybe in person next time you're around the fighting events. And I hope to have you on my show again.
Yeah, for any time, man. Any time. And make sure that I'm going to do my all to sneak behind the commission and come see you if we get the chance to see each other.
You're November. Very welcome to.
Yeah, I'm.
I'll meet you halfway.
Yeah, cool. We'll just message and we'll meet because last time it was so tough. I wanted to do interviews, post-fight interviews and stuff. And it was just not possible. The commission were keeping a tight ship. But I'm That's good okay. with that because we got to see fight. And then I spoke to everybody on my podcast after it. So it's the same thing either way. I'm pretty happy. But yeah, for sure, November, we'll get to meet each other and speak in person for sure. Thank you.
Hey, this has been the Mo Show. Meeting you. Let's go, baby.
That's the Mo Show, everybody. Thanks for watching. See you next time.
Take care.